listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 10th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, glad to be here. Glad to know we lived through another Armageddon of the solar eclipse on Monday.
I tell you, yeah, they're coming like every year or two these days.
I know. Well, good to be here, though.
Glad to have you. And I'm very thankful that our live listeners have also survived the Armageddon. We appreciate you showing up, and we always appreciate your contributions. And thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us from the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, we have an interesting topic. We're going to be talking about physics in the 21st century, obviously from a layman's perspective. You know, we're by no means physicists, but it is an interesting topic, and just to touch on it. And kind of going through the history of it, what it is today. But I think a good place to start is a very interesting article, Dr. Vicki, that you'd found on quantum gravity.
Yeah, I look, I'm with you, Michael. I'm no science expert. But when I came across this article, quantum gravity could help unite quantum mechanics with general relativity at last, I went, what? And apparently they have found, they being the scientists, and anybody who's interested, you can go to space.com, gravity-quantum-theory-cosmos-mysteries, but I'm sure space.com will do it fine, is an article about how these scientists at Southampton University, Leiden University, and the Institute for Photonics and Nanotechnologies, a mouthful there, use superconducting magnetic traps to measure the weak gravitational pull on the smallest mass anyone has ever attempted to investigate in this way. And I went, wow. And so if you kind of consider that, it's the first time being able to measure. And I went, you know, we have to do a little talk on this at some mm-hmm. point about how far we've come in physics. But then I got thinking, well, wait a minute, maybe as a layman we should just define physics. You know, we know metaphysics, we know basic physics, but what does physics include? So I looked that up and I thought that was a good place to start. So
absolutely.
The basic definition is the scientific study of matter, energy, space, and time, and of the relations in between. And it's broken down into 5 major branches. So the classical mechanics, statistical mechanics, and thermodynamics. So anybody who's gone through IMHS and TFU, You know about that, thermodynamics. Electronics and electromagnetism, the relativity theory, and quantum mechanics. So those are like the five major branches of physics. And I think, wow, you know, that's a big area. Mm. Like that's life itself.
Well,
right?
I mean,
broken down.
Absolutely. I think everything can kind of ultimately fall into physics, mathematics, biology, you know, organisms, life.
Sure. Absolutely. So, you know, a kid-friendly version is to say it's a study of matter and its motion through space and time. And I'm thinking, that's still a pretty big statement, you know, for the mind to wrap itself around. And so I thought, how far, and this is where Michael and I were brainstorming a bit mm-hmm. last week, about how far we have come in our, and how far we're going in our pursuit of science and physics. And then, of course, Michael and I are also talking about how that has a relation with metaphysics and what we consider ourselves to be as more metaphysicians,
mm-hmm.
you know, that other in-between area.
Yeah, which also covers a lot of ground.
It sure does. So, so that's kind of where... Oh, you know, kind of where we were going. I think where we are with artificial intelligence, with, and as you said too, Michael, nobody really understands quantum physics,
mm-hmm.
except that we now know about quantum entanglement, and that's been proven. So then I thought, okay, anybody can do this. If you go to Wikipedia, so I have to give a shout out to Wikipedia and the timeline of fundamental physics. And just even most recently, 2023, we had the first image of the Milky Way in neutrinos instead of light. In 2023, we had the experimental evidence of stochastic gravitational wave background. I think, whoa. 2019, this is the first image of a black hole.
I remember that one.
And so, you know, how far have we jumped, even that we know of? I'm mm-hmm. sure science has been working on things we don't know of, but, you know, in the last, even since the year 2000. And
like night and day.
Well, it's at a rapid pace. And so this timeline. The study of physics goes all the way back to what we know of, back to the 6th century.
Right. Yeah, as far as we know. But, yeah, that was kind of even predating the, you know, the Greek philosophical era.
And I can think of ancient civilizations that, you know, we allude to as well. So.
Well, engineering, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all physics.
Mm-hmm.
What is physics? The pyramids. It's, you know, there's so many things that you can, again, that encapsulate that basic understanding of physics. But to think for the first time we can now measure gravity, that's monumental. And the implications of that are, like, massive.
Right, at that kind of subatomic level.
Well, everything from underwater to sky travel, you
mm-hmm.
know, and everything in between.
Do I remember the article correctly? I talked about it being, you know, potential step towards the, you know, grand unifying theory.
Yes.
And, you know, I also think about a deeper understanding of gravity, how it is all connected in the universe. It makes me think about the role of dark matter, too. Maybe with an increased understanding of gravity at the, you know, subatomic level and how it is represented throughout all these different levels of physics, of reality, that we would understand the nature of it. You know, we look at dark matter as being this thing that must exist because it exerts a force. We can't see it or measure it other than the gravitational pull it has. So I think this is going to be a very interesting thing to see develop. And, you know, far beyond our lifetimes, as was with all knowledge, but it's going to be, it is an interesting precipice for humanity.
Well, I know. And I think so much has gone on too that the public is not aware of. And these are like the little leaks that go out, you know, a big aha moment for a scientist who can write a paper and, you know, let it out into the media and who picks it up, right? So I think there's a lot of things none of us know about.
And, you know, I think, you know, there was an academic researcher that was talking about how, you know, ignorance of their work is not their design. Like, they will spend all day just ranting about their work to you if they could. It's just that it doesn't get talked about. A lot of it, and a lot of it's minutia too, the boring stuff, the hard work.
Well, to the average, you know, average folks going through their daily life, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless your electric car runs out of, you know, a battery and you have to replace it for tens of thousands of dollars. And they say, well, what kind of physics is that? You know, and again, that's just an off-the-cuff kind of thing. But I think that most people don't consider that. There's a comment Dr. Zach is saying in the chat, the physics of the solar eclipse was pretty wild. And I have seen some footage about how animals responded, you know, and their different responses to the eclipse. Not just the fact that everything went dark, but the energy changed. And then how do you measure that energy? Well, I'm sure they can, but, you know, people aren't necessarily saying, oh, you know, we had so many electromagnetic, you know, hertz's changes, blah, you know, of what happened. And I'm sure there is, in my view. So, but a bunch of folks here saying that they all went and saw it. They were able to drive and see it. I think there was another one in 2017 that I think what's interesting is in 2017 it went from the, you know, southeast to the northwest, and this time it was the, you know, southwest to the northeast, and kind of making that cross within, you know, 7 years is pretty extraordinary. But that, again, there's a lot of prophecy around this particular eclipse, which goes back 30 years for me, and in some indigenous lodges that I was in, and some prophecies that a big shift in consciousness would occur, at, you know, in 2024, the day of the new sun, which NASA had, you know, named this eclipse as just that, day of the new sun. And I went, wow, that was a mind blower to me. So I think that there is a consciousness shift in something that did happen, but life is like a puzzle, right? We may not see that or however.
We have a sliver of perspective over the, you know, even the world that we live in, the reality that we have access to, we can only see a very small sliver of it. So it can be hard to extrapolate, but I think there's, you know, nothing more wonderful than a good mystery, than something to explore, than something to, you know, dive into. So I think it's a good thing.
And I do too. I think it's a great thing. So it's, you know, life is always interesting. And if nothing else, it's a curious experience because no matter how we emotionally feel about a good day, a bad day, you know, there's always something curious and something interesting. And this is what I find physics to be. Again, I am by no stretch a scientist or have a science mind. I think people like Dr. Mike, who's in the chat right now, would be better equipped to handle this subject, or Dr. Rick, of whom we're going to have on, by the way, announcement. Dr. Rick is going to be with us next week.
Very much looking forward to that.
And Michael, what's the topic yet? Again?
Is going to be, I have it typed down here, the metaphysical nature of the alien abduction syndrome. So, interesting.
Hey, everybody, take note. Next week, make sure you stay tuned. I also have another announcement at the end of the program, so I hope you stay with us throughout after we pull some cards. But back to you again, there's other people who can speak better than Michael and I about physics, but I'm just saying as a layman, and the things that are happening in science, I'm fascinated how science is now able to start proving things that metaphysicians have been talking about or speculating about, theorizing about forever, you know, and anti-gravity, for instance, you know, now they know you can do anti-gravity. Well, what is levitating except anti-gravity?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
it's, I mean, I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. But nonetheless, it's a very interesting concept.
Well, there are sound waves absolutely move objects. That's proven.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it in Florida where that fellow built all those monuments out of the stones using anti-gravity? Which one is that, Michael?
Oh, I have no idea.
But he claimed to know how to create an anti-gravity, and it was with sound, you know. And so I think that there are these ways, and science is proving more of this every day. And I think it's something as metaphysicians we should all stay tuned to. And at the very least for me, you know, things I felt or sensed or speculated about, you know, even as a young girl, and now science can prove it, and I go, wow, that's exciting to me. And, oh, thank you, Audra, it's called the Coral Castle. That's right. I appreciate you saying that. Anybody, check it out, Coral Castle. The fellow's passed now, but over a period of years, he built this extraordinary place, and with these huge rocks in precision. And how does one man build that, except he claimed anti-gravity? And, Dr. Zach is offering, he said he saw a thing where they developed a technology to recreate images from people's brain waves, like they could do a brain scan and recreate what they were thinking in an image form. Like, hello, that's all physics, that's all science. And how we are learning so much about ourselves through science. You know, again, we've talked in past about AI and how we think or feel about that, and kind of it's unnerving to say the least. But how we are understanding our bodies and how many cells are in a body, how we have this electrical system, and how you can take a brainwave and create an image, that's like, really, it's sci-fi.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
And doable.
You know, it really makes me think of a Star Trek quote, of course, where Captain Picard talks about human and humanoid life being simply biochemical machines. Mm. Very true. Chemical reactions in our brain create images, sounds, ideas. It is the foundation for everything. History, archaeology, if you design buildings, you architecture, different, you know, literature, music, all of this comes from a chemical exchange in your brain. Yeah. It is fascinating stuff.
It is. So Dr. Mike has said, and thank you for that, he said they still don't know how the fellow built the Coral Castle. And that's true. They have no evidence, but the claim was. So I'm going with the claim because I think that's a pretty cool notion.
It is. It's interesting, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm in the internet generation. I don't believe anything unless I, you know, well, I won't say I believe it. I'm open to ideas, and it is very interesting, and I won't exclude it. But
well, I think there's a lot of very basic science experiments we can do at home that could kind of blow your mind too, you know?
Sure.
It's like, even how music can move sand into geometric patterns.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, highly encourage you to check that out. Ooh, you know, a little shout out to Dr. Zach. You know, he was doing a reading for me, and I believe he had a sound bowl. What's the proper term for it? But you rank creates a yeah. And I was very surprised at the physical reaction that it caused, and it was a very interesting experience. So, absolutely, I'll go with that.
Singing bowls, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Music, sound. There's also on YouTube many videos playing music of so many hertz and meditation that, you know, good for healing, good for, you know, you raise the vibration, lower the vibration.
Oh, every cat owner knows.
Yeah, it's those are, you know, pretty cool things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of things to investigate, and that was the point of bringing it up today, that metaphysician study of consciousness. And I really do expect that one of the next stages in physics is to, although it's theory at this point, to be able to measure consciousness and as an energy. And that's going to open a lot of doors too. Maybe not in my lifetime, but well, I think that things are coming.
Regardless of what we discover in our lifetimes, I always find it very encouraging and heartening that we exist in a society that is marching forward. It is gaining awareness and knowledge. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. Mm. Sometimes, you know, two or three steps back, and then we have to continue forward again. But we are on that march, and it is a it's a interesting time to be alive. It very much is. You know, we're very much on the, like I said before, not to overuse the word, but a precipice. And the combination of, you know, physics and metaphysics, I think, is something that fascinates us all, because this isn't, you know, a textbook definition, but I've always thought of physics as a study of the material world and metaphysics, the study of the ineffable, you know, the things that lie beyond that. And are, what is consciousness, awareness? You know, what is the soul? What is the next, you know, the next realm of existence, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, I just put those two links in, one from science.com and, sorry, I couldn't multitask earlier, but and the timeline of Wikipedia, the timeline of physics, and just put them in the chat for anybody who wants to check them out and have a good read. And thanks to Audra for putting in the chat a link to astronomy.com, observing, see the next 20 years of eclipses.
Mm. That's so interesting.
It is. It's all just fascinating, everybody. So I think we go right along with, we just had a big major eclipse and talking about physics, and next week we're going to have Dr. Rick on. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. So,
yeah.
You know, we just keep pulling back curtains, Michael, and saying, wow.
You know, that's what we do.
We do so. Should we get on with pulling some cards, everybody? If you would like a card, certainly the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card that Michael is going to select, mm-hmm. As designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. And as a backup, I pull a tarot card. Maybe there's a little message there.
I wouldn't call it a backup by any means.
Well,
I've always said that I get the easy work there.
So,
but yeah, as we wait for some names to come in.
Yep.
It is very interesting to talk briefly about the eclipse. I think it is interesting of the human psyche that we have so many that will jump to these different theories about godly judgment and the superstitious. And, you know, it just makes me think about how far back it goes. And that train we're on. We're increasing our awareness, our knowledge, you know, less superstition, more reason. And I think that applies to things that we understand we can't know yet. But, well, that's another vamping. I think we're getting some names in here, too. So let's get started.
We are.
And I think
I just have to tell a quick story that I had heard of somebody giving a woman gave somebody a $300 tip to a waitress and said, "That's all right. I won't need my money after Monday. We won't be here." Because she really thought that it was the, you know, everybody's going to poof off the planet or get sucked up into the sky. I don't know what's going to happen. But I thought that, well, that's good for the waitress. A happy day.
Hey, paying it forward in a certain way, huh?
Yeah, funny.
All right,
and we got a lot of names popping up.
We do.
So let's
and we have
started.
Audra first up. Audra, for you, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, Audra, I got the Tower. Now, that's not a negative by any stretch. The Tower is when extraneous stuff we don't need anymore falls to the wayside. Our perception changes. The good thing about the Tower is the foundation is there. So the foundation of the building, but, well, that stuff on the top, it just needs a little bit of, you know, tweaking or a little renovating. And it's, if you think about ideas or belief systems, psyches, so awareness with the Tower is kind of like opening your mind in a new way, like perceiving the world differently, perceiving people differently. It's another growth state, if you will. And I always find that a good thing, even though it's uncomfortable for a minute. So I think people, ideas, and all the other stuff you don't need in your life anymore, you're just not going to give it another thought. And you're going to get on with this new, open, fresh mind and moving forward. And I don't know, this little tingle that something really good is going to happen to you in this next week. So that's a good one.
I like it.
I do too.
All right. And we have Dr. Zora next. I have for you number 35. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Well, the page of any page in the tarot is a communicator. And in this case, the page of hearts or the page of cups. And one planet, you know, one destiny. I see this as an optimism of you sharing with others like something futuristic and something positive, like having a new goal. In a way, that's not just good for you, but good for others. It could be an idea you have on the table that benefits people, Zoran. It could be somebody else putting forth an idea and you running with it. But again, it has to do with communications and delivery. So I think that you're able to take some of your philosophy and put it into effect, whether that's through your work and your life somehow. So again, I see this and I feel this movement forward, but it has a wider perspective than, let's say, you would have had 10 years ago or even a year ago. So it's a good one.
I like it. All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next. For you, I have wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
I don't even know if I need to explain this one, Michael. It's the High Priestess. You know, you've got hope in the High Priestess, Jeff. Look, we all know, and we announced it last week, that you and Shauna have bought a house together, and I think at the end of the month you're moving in, and I think this all has to do with this, with that, in this shift in your life, so that hopefulness. But I think that your intuition and your sensitivities are going to change a little. In other words, a comfort and opening up. So you might realize in a moment of like moving forward to say, oh, I didn't know I was limited by that other environment. And look at how open it is now. So it affects your psyche in a really positive way. I am really excited for you, Jeff. This is a great move for you.
I love it.
Yep.
All right. We have Donna next. And for you, we have one now. We haven't pulled in a while, but it is a classic. Number 1, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Hierophant, that always has to do to me with the home, comfort, routines. I think a lot of books describe it as conformity, but I see it more as ritualistic and kind of our habits in a way, but again, all referencing the home. So when you have perfection, I see perfection as, whether we like to believe it or not, everything we've done to this point is, this is a perfect outcome, even though we didn't predict it that way. It's cause and effect, hello. And even at an unconscious level. And so perfection and the home, Donna, this says to me that you might be looking at making some changes to make it better for you, changes in the home or changes to your routine, and that make that energy flow in a new way. So saying, you know, yeah, that all served me pretty well. You know what? That doesn't serve me today. So maybe it's as simple as cleaning out closets and chucking stuff out, or it could be as radical as, I'm going to move, you know, it's like, and so that I think is really exciting. So it's one of a really good shift for you, Donna, but it all has to do with in and around the home base.
All right. And we have, oh, I just had it too. Excuse
me. Kevin.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. All right. Let's see. I have for you number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, I really like this, Kevin. King of Spades. And the first flash that I had with that is you making people check their garbage at the door. In other words, standing up for something that is right. And, you know, that's what the King of Spades does, the King of Swords. You know, he's assertive. At times he can be a little aggressive, but he has to keep that in check. But as somebody who's taking charge, sacred obligations in that, you're going to call somebody out or call some people out and say, that's not correct action. That's not the right thing to do. That's not ethical, moral. It's something in that capacity where you're standing up on the side of right. And, you know, I always say kudos to people when you call it out, because it's saying, no, I'm not going to be a part of that, or I'm not going to participate in that, because that's just not, that's not right. So, I think that that's, and again, doing it in the right way, a good way, Kevin. It's not to be mean or cruel to people, you know that. It's just saying, no, no, that's just not right. So, boy, I sure hope that makes sense, because that was the first thing I felt about that. We do have some feedback in the chat, and I want to thank Jeff for saying he now gets a sound room in his new home, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, he says other things, but, you know, making his neighbors upset. And, you know, so it's, I'm really glad. Thanks for that. Wendy said this is the first time we've got the wild card number 7 this year after 2 years of it being
really?
So popular. Yeah.
Huh.
That's,
that is fascinating.
It is. So we could be into a new cycle repeat of some kind. Sure.
You know, maybe it's just me. I feel like we pulled, another wild card, don't hate, you know, more than a couple of times.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me. All right. I think we have Ronaldo next.
Yep, on my list too.
And I have another classic, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, I got the 7 of Pentacles, which is 7 of Diamonds in a regular deck of playing cards. Preference principle, the 7 of Diamonds. The Seven of Diamonds in and of itself is kind of the reward after all the work, that toil, or seeing the benefit of your energy and your input to something. And I get that it kind of a feel good that you did the right thing, a feel good that you did it in the right way or a good way, as opposed to maybe a past habit or how other people might have suggested that you do things. And I feel like in this case, Rinaldo, it's a sense of accomplishment, job well done, and getting ready to take on a new challenge. So it's like everything has a season, right? And everything has a cycle of some kind. And I feel like, oh, it's like taking a breath, Rinaldo, and being really proud of yourself, and as you should. You know, when you do something good, you guys, celebrate yourself.
Absolutely. Like, there's so much, you know, often there's so much darkness in life. You have to tell, you know, take those moments, appreciate them.
Say, I did a good job. That's awesome.
I like it.
All right, I think we have Edward next, Michael.
All right, and for you, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to the honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
The Two of Spades. The Think for Yourself and the Two of Spades, what I get from that is you might be in a disagreement with someone or feel differently. Like, the Two of Spades often is, I always call it one of the bad cards, because you don't necessarily see an answer. You have to go by your intuition. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that sense of, I can't see where I'm going. I just know I'm going to follow this feeling. But when it's combined with Think for Yourself, it may be that you intuitively want to do something. And again, it may be against the grain in some way of how others may think or others' opinions. And one thing I do know, when people make changes in their life or make decisions, others say, well, that's great for you, but how does that affect me? You know? And so it's, and I think in some way that kind of applies here, Edward. And it's saying to be encouraging of you, and even if it means you stay quiet and still follow your own path, and it doesn't matter what other people think. No, you're not upsetting the boat. You're not, you know, rocking the cart, so to speak. You're just going to carry on your own and say, well, that's okay.
But, all right.
We have our card keeper, Wendy.
We do. And always just a big shout out to you, Wendy, for doing what you do and tracking the cards and how often they get pulled. 2024 is the year of new cards. A lot of people are getting cards they haven't gotten before, so very interesting. And for you, I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
I got the Hanged Man for you, Wendy. One of my favorite cards. You know, I'm going to tell this story as many times as I need to have said it before, but the Hanged Man to me is like Odin hanging on the tree of Yggdrasil. And he wants to know the secrets of Mimir. You know, he like Mimir, the secrets of women and how women perceive the world, you know. Mm. And he has to give something up in order to do that. Well, the old story, Michael, is that he lost an eye. Mm-hmm. But that's metaphorical. You think, I have to lose the way I see something in order to benefit a new view, a new way. Mm. So I always see the hangman as certainly introspective, opening a consciousness. It's like a new doorway of thinking and living one's life. And so expediency in the hangman, Wendy, is when you feel it, go for it. When it hits you, that it's that intuition, and it's a little out of the extraordinary, ordinary for you, then just know that that's your pathway, and you're just going to stand tall in that. But it also means to say to me that you might be having a lot of revelations lately. And insights. I don't know if you're being downloaded in your dreams. Or I love downloads. Man, they hit you when you least expect. And it, just something that is happening in your unconscious, subconscious, superconscious. And it, she says, oh, makes sense to her. Thanks for sharing that. She's trying to make some personal changes. Time for growth. Well, this is the time for growth. Expediency with the hangman, whew, there's an awakening. And look, that never is to say you weren't awake yesterday, but this is a new kind of awake. You know, we're always changing and growing, mm-hmm. Michael. And, you know, I think for the grace of age, we learn through wisdom that although we thought we were smart, we're smart enough to know that we've hardly known anything.
Right. Well, and if you're doing it right, every year you're going to have a little bit more awareness than you did the year prior.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks to Kevin for his feedback. He said this was on point for him. And yeah, Wendy says it's like how a snake sheds its skin. That's absolutely true. So, and Dr. Edwards said he always thought that way to be different. But when you're very young, living with the tradition of family, it got me into trouble. It's always got me in trouble.
You look for it. You know? I kid.
Yeah. Well, that's all the names that I can see here. Again, I want to say we're really looking forward to Dr. Rick Telesca coming on.
Very much so.
I just got his book, by the way. I guess things take longer to come to Canada.
Yeah, it's all the way up there.
So I'm hoping I'll get a chance to, you know, have a look through it and read by next week so I can speak coherently on it. But I really am the metaphysics of abduction. That's exciting.
It is. And, you know, always looking forward to having such a wonderful conversation with someone who is so very knowledgeable on the topic. So that's going to be good.
Yes, I love it.
And I know that you have some more somber news as well.
Well, you know, folks, approaching this subject, Michael and I have had a couple of talks about this last week and this week, and we would be remiss to not share some news about one of the members of our community. Last week wasn't the time because it only was made public this week. As life goes, you know, there's always a lot of good news that we get to share, and there's always some other news, and this is one of those moments where Dr. Dan Jablonski, who I've known Dan since the beginning, nearly the beginning of being with Dr. Douglas Kelly and IMHF, and Dan and I became very good friends over these past 11, 12 years, and he's in stage 4 cancer at this moment and is preparing for hospice care. And honestly, it brings tears to my eyes to even say this, Michael.
Yeah, I know.
I would like all of us to join in sending Dan and his husband, Gordon, a lot of love. And
absolutely,
they need all the support and energy. And certainly you can find Dan Jablonski on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gordon, if you want to check in with them and say hello. It's not inappropriate to say hello, everybody, and tell somebody how much you love them and how much you've appreciated knowing them.
Important to take the opportunity while you still have it.
Exactly. And a little bit of a backstory. Dan has been dealing with HIV for 33 years, and all of his friends in the 80s and early 90s, all of them died of AIDS. And he's had to turn a lot of new pages for himself. He went on to, while he was working for the airlines, he went on to do some pretty extraordinary things, including getting degrees from IMHS, but he also got naturopathic medicine and iridology certification, you know, vegan recipes. I mean, the guy was always learning. And Dan and I video messaged a week before last. He's having a hard time having conversations now, so he doesn't want to do that anymore. But we were talking about each other and sharing some love. And I've told him how much I've always admired his tenacity and wanting to set up his website and get going. But, of course, you know, you got to earn money, right? And you got to keep earning a living. Dan spent some time working in the prisons with sexual offenders. He worked with youth in the hospitals, in the mental health wards. He's always been giving of himself and caring for others. He's got the kindest heart. One of the most colorful people, him and Gordon and all these adventures. Where are you living now, guys? You know, Alaska, Florida, back on the East Coast. But life has always been an adventure for him. And he and Gordon have been married now for, I think, 10, 12 years, been together a while. And Gordon has got a degree in child psychology, works with young people in a hospital. So it's really a testimony to the contributions that they have made in their lives, but also to this community. I've appreciated, and I've told Dan, you know, I'm sure in many lifetimes we've said goodbye, but they really suck.
Yeah, they do.
And I wish him grace and love during his transition. And now he, of course, the cancer has gone from his liver to his brain, and he's in full-blown AIDS, so it won't be long now. So, you know, we have to share it with you.
We do. I mean, long-time listeners will recall he's joined us on more than one occasion, if I recall.
Yep.
And a long time, you know, it's been a little bit, but he, you know, was a regular voice in the chat as well. So, you know, he's going to be missed, and it is the part of the natural life cycle that we hate the most.
Well, I've shed my tears. I could still shed more tears, and I'm sure I'll shed some more. There's some losses that hit us harder. Mm-hmm. I know when our Dr. Deb passed not too long ago, you know, in our community, that was a pretty hard hit. She had dealt with cancer and overcome it, and then one day her heart just stopped, and bless her heart, you know.
I was thinking of her family as well.
And how much this community meant to her. So it's hard to say goodbye, but, you know, if you're so inclined, you know, check Dan out. I know he appreciates hearing from people. Mm-hmm. He is facing this with grace. And, you know, just send him lots of love.
Well said. Well said. And while it's being cut too short, I would say from what I've known of him, Dr. Dan is a man who truly lived his life and experienced it and explored it.
And he still is, to the best of his ability. He had signed up for a new job on a cruise ship. He said, I always wanted to work on a cruise ship. Yeah. So he got this job on a cruise ship. And, you know, he said, I still want to do it. But, of course, he's failing too fast. And he knows that. But yeah. He said, I always wanted to work on a cruise ship. So it's always an adventure. And that's, I think, one of the greatest lessons we can take from Dan is always see life as an adventure. One new thing, you know, take it on. Take life face on. And, you know, you're going to have bad moments, hard moments. And it's just, you know, you just keep going. And I just, Kevin was asking the correct spelling of his name, so I put it in the
Thank you.
the chat. That's what he leaves for us. That's every human being has impact. And I think we remember people by one or two things primarily, just, you know, when we describe them. And with Dan, for me, it's his lust for life and the adventure he was on. Mm-hmm. He didn't leave any stone unturned. He was always learning, always. And, you know, it's pretty extraordinary.
The best he could aspire to.
Yeah. He only recently, I think in January, finished a whole course on vegan cooking. So yeah, he was diagnosed in January, and that was it. But he's been not feeling well for a while, so it's up and down. Nonetheless, lots of love out.
Absolutely. You know, send your love, your thoughts, your positive, your wide energy, and it is important to make sure that he knows the impact he had too. So,
yes.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that, Dr. Vicki. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate y'all listening, and I appreciate this community, and I appreciate Dr. Dan. I certainly appreciate and have messaged Gordon anything he needs. It's a tough time for him to lose his life partner, and you know, but he's certainly stepped up. It's like I say, wow, that's pretty amazing to dig deep and find that strength. You know, he thought of some last minute, you know, last ditch efforts of maybe going to Mexico for a cell treatment, but it's all too late, and he knows that now. So it's okay. As I say, we're all going to say goodbye. Again, I can't get away from that word of grace. You know, it's just having grace. And
it has meaning outside of the religious, I say. And yes, it is a good term, a good word.
Yeah, it is. So on that note, everybody, I appreciate you. Appreciate you, Michael. Mm-hmm. And appreciate Dr. Doug Kelly. And, of course, Tracy. We'd be remiss to the behind-the-scenes people.
Absolutely.
You know.
I am feeling very reflective, and I encourage everybody to make sure that you tell the people in your life that you love them. Don't miss the opportunity. And if Dr. Dan has had an impact on you in any way, you know, let him know. And, you know, wishing he and his partner, Gordon, the best that this can be with it. You know, I've been around a lot of folks that have been in this situation, and family, clients, friends, and it's I wish for a graceful transition.
Yes.
So thank you, Dr. Vicki, for your very warm and wonderful words. And it is that time of the night. So very much looking forward to our discussion with Dr. Rick next week. And any last thoughts before we sign off, Dr. Vicki?
You know, just don't let them push you around out there, people. Just live your life one moment at a time. Keep going ahead and, you know, just tell people you love them.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to seeing you all next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.